Here's the pitch. Willier drives one high and deep into right field, at the track, at the wall. Gone! He got the slider. He launched a three-run homer, his second of the day, and it is 5-2 Red Sox.
Willier, Abreu, take a bow, buddy. My goodness. Put the team on your back. I told you, get this man a slider over the plate, and he's going to hit it a long ways. And that was a missile on a line. What a swing in a huge spot.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI, live today at Polar Park. Woo Sox opener Marcelo Meyer going to join us about a half an hour from now. 12:30, we're told. 12:30 sharp. We'll be here. So we'll be talking to him. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to jump in line here on Jones and Keefe. Red Sox big winners in their opener last night in Texas.
How about the Wills on the call?
Yeah, you got Will Fleming.
Couple of Wills, flying Will brothers.
I think I heard Middlebrook say he's going to go by Brooksy. So they don't get, confused. Yeah, I don't know if that was tongue-in-cheek. I'm not fully aware of his humor yet.
I'm not sure. Oh, you know what I did love the other day? I don't know if you caught his appearance with Greg's show yesterday.
Yeah, it's where he was talking about Call Me Brooksy.
I don't even know if he meant to do this.
Brooksy.
He absolutely buried John Farrell.
You told me this? I was not aware of that.
So, like, I'm not concerned about John Farrell. That ship has sailed. We had our good interviews and bad interviews along the way. But whatever. Like, we've all moved on, right? Uh-huh. But they were asking him.
Hey, man, stay out of the way.
Hold on a second. I didn't know you had it. So let me set it up. But basically, Curtis started up by asking him like a kind of a tongue-in-cheek question about like, hey, like, did you think your manager in the 2013 team that won the World Series was going to be a lobsterman? So then he starts going down the – he laughs about it. Then he starts going down the story about John Farrell. And it's a story that makes him – he should have zero credit. Here's what he said about Farrell.
Johnny Gomes goes, hey, man, stay out of the way. We got this. And from that point, like, Farrell just he never really came in the clubhouse. It was run by the veterans. John Farrell made the pitching changes and the lineup cards.
He never really came in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
So that's like, I was about to say, well, what do most managers do? Like, I don't think Cora did a ton in 2018. Like, it was just the players were sick of Farrell, so they brought in a new voice. And
Yeah,
you get the pitchers and you make out the lineup. What the hell else do they do? So, but not even showing his face in the clubhouse, that's another level from, like, most managers who do nothing.
Well, and this might be unfair, and this might be biased, but I give Cora a little bit more credit because the 2018 team had a ton of young guys and guys that hadn't won it and things like that, and sort of put them all together. Whereas that story paints it out like, dude, just write out the lineup, which you may or may not even do. Yeah. That might come from above you, too.
Stay in your office.
That's what they told him. And he's like, okay. And then he did nothing. He did nothing the whole season.
When they say fill out the lineup card, it's literally right in the lineup card. You probably don't even pick the lineup.
Probably
that,
above you.
That comes from above you. So, what do you actually?
I just thought that was hilarious.
You do the press conferences.
There's a player on the team being like, yeah, we had these great veteran leaders that were like, don't, like, get out of our way. Because he also said, I guess back then, the manager's office was attached to the locker.
Is it not now?
It's not now.
Oh, okay.
Cora's is, like, further away.
I haven't been in the clubhouse in years, but that is where it was.
Last time I was there, it was in there. Yeah. He basically was like, you can come in here, but you stay in there. You don't talk to any of us.
Yeah.
He's like, okay.
Yeah.
And it worked.
That's where Francona and Petey were playing cribbage all the time. That's where that was.
That's right.
I did get yelled at one time in the office by Francona.
Why, you went in there?
For some reason.
Why did he yell at you?
For some reason, he did. It must have been after he had already done his media availability up in the press room. And then, so they had to update something. So everybody, like, loaded into his office.
Oh.
And I swear this is what happened. Rochie was talking to me, but he must have thought it was me talking to Rochie. He's like, you're done over there.
And I was like,
I didn't say it. I was like, what was Rochie? And so that was what I got yelled at. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they had to move us apart.
It's like we're telling you about this groundbreaking news that somebody's been scratched from the lineup.
Right, I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah.
It was very insignificant. Oh, you're done over there?
I was done.
Good to see Tito back, by the way, with the Reds as well. So anyway, Red Sox get their win yesterday. 162-0 remains on the table. I don't want to rule it out.
I mean, it hasn't.
I don't want to cross it off the list
yet.
It hasn't blown up yet.
Could happen tonight with Tanner Houck on the hill, but we'll see.
You know what? Now that you mentioned that, maybe it's off the table.
One game at a time, in many ways. And yesterday was a good start to the year. I mean, there's plenty to pick apart, but also plenty to be excited about. And I would just start by saying Garrett Crochet, all eyes are on him. First start as a member of the Red Sox. Many, like myself, think he's going to be the AL Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, now you might have been a little too bullish on him based on yesterday.
Perhaps. Yeah, this is not one that if he does win the Cy Young, you're going to be like, it's because of games like that. Like, no, he doesn't get the win. He only goes five innings. Was the under
like
on his strikeouts.
Five innings, two runs, four Ks is like, that's like a James Paxton is what that is.
Oh,
that's
you'll like, yeah. take that yeah, from like yeah. a Giolito right. or a Cutter Crawford or whatever. But no, you're expecting a lot more from Crochet. But what I think is, let's say, best case scenario, he makes all his starts or close to it. He makes like 30 starts.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is most of them are better than that, and you won. You know, like he doesn't get the win, but who cares? Like the team
and you,
won,
and you won.
He didn't get his best game.
Against a good team.
Yeah, yeah, right.
When
Texas is no slouch.
We think the Rangers are going to be a good team.
Exactly. So I look at that as a positive, and then you know it snowballed from there that we were kind of on. We didn't really know what they were going to do in the bullpen or how what guys were going to go, how many innings they would go, and Whitlock, Chapman, Slayton, all look good. Four scoreless innings, and you get the dub. So great start to the year.
Yeah, and I would say like I don't trust the bullpen. Like, and I guess we're inconsistent on all these things. There's only one game for everything.
Well,
so
yeah.
Some things I put stock in, some things I don't. Like, I wouldn't put any stock in the bullpen. I would put stock in Rafael Devers' crappy outing. And honestly, I think the logic is the same. The bullpen looks sketchy on paper all offseason. They had a good day yesterday, but it looks sketchy on paper. It worked out. Rafi Devers did not have a good spring, got his date pushed back, looks awful at the plate, looks out of shape. So, like, I don't think it's just one game, in other words, for either of those things. But if you want to say I'm overreacting to one and, you know, not putting any stock in the other, I guess that's fair. But, like, big picture look at the Red Sox, what I feel best about, I don't feel like they've won a ton of games like that
right.
in the last 3 years. You know, now it doesn't mean they're going to win them all like this. It doesn't mean that that's what it's going to be. But, all right, it's a 2-2 game against quality competition in the eighth inning. You're into your bullpen. And what? How are you going to win the game? Do you have the guys that can win it? Do you have the pitching to get you over the top? Is Cora going to push the right buttons? And I don't feel like they've been winning the majority of those games. Who knows what's going to happen with this year's team? But I think they can be the kind of team that'll win the majority of those games. Late game, it's close. You're down a run. You're tied. You're up a run. This team has the talent to close those games out. That has been way too far and between for the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah. If you said Crochet goes five innings and, you know, Bregman, Devers, and Casas go 0-for, you're like, you're not winning those games.
No.
You're not going to win many of those. And then so it's the bullpen and it's Willier Abreu, who he also started the show talking about how he really was the least talked about starter probably on the entire team.
I was talking, even when they broke camp going to Mexico, I'm like, Roman Anthony might still sneak his way
still
onto
could.
The team because
yeah,
we didn't
yeah.
even know that Abreu... I mean, Abreu lost 20 pounds or whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Is he was a late start to camp, and then so it was like, all right, well, maybe he won't be ready. But then he was ready, but you're still thinking, well, like, that's probably the path for the top prospect of baseball to sort of take over. And, like, nope, just you pencil him in. The guy hits two home runs. He factors in all five runs that the team scores, which is another reason to feel good about all of our very, like, positive predictions of the team.
You guys were
all more positive than me.
One day they're looking good.
I've in the ALC. No, but when you're like your best guys don't even perform their best.
Right.
Right? Because, like.
No, you just said it. The middle of the order goes over.
Middle of the order. Yeah. And then a guy like Willie Abreu, who weren't even talking about, socks two dingers, including one in the ninth to go up, and then you're able to protect it in the bottom part of the ninth. Like, yeah, excellent. And then, but let's see where this goes. They have three starters, essentially, to begin the year. We'll see how long it takes Bayo and others to come back from the shelf. So Tanner Houck goes tonight, Walker Buehler goes, and then two guys that nobody anticipated being in the rotation will start games 4 and 5.
Let me give you a quick Patriots update. This
okay.
is relatively hot off the presses.
Ah.
We're at Polar Park today. My news gathering not as strong as normal.
Come on.
I don't think it's
usually it's very good.
I don't think it's breaking news worthy, but Juwan Bentley has tweeted out, New England, thank you for everything. It's been a blessing. And Mike Reese has a follow-up saying, Patriots linebacker Juwan Bentley says goodbye. Expectation is the team will be releasing him today.
They're so, cleaning house.
Yeah, I don't...
Think about some of these like veteran-type guys that they've just moved on from. Andrews and Bentley whether you think they're all pros or not. Like, they've both been on the team a long time. It really was, like, the captain of the offense and the captain of the defense. And I know injuries have been a factor big time for both. And so it might have as much to do with age and injury as anything else, but those are two long-time paths that they're moving on from.
And when we were talking about the veterans on the team, and maybe there were problems in the room and you're going to move on from them, Godchow for sure. We like Godchow on this show, but I could see why a coach would be sick and tired of Godchow going on the radio and blabbing and throwing his teammates under the bus in the papers and things like that.
Yeah.
I get that. I like talking to him. I didn't think Andrews and Bentley would be the bad veterans in the locker room, and I still don't. So, like, guys like Tavai and players like that, I'm shocked they're still there. Maybe their ticket out of town is right around the corner. But based on the personnel they brought in, they brought back Christian Ellis. They brought in Spillane.
Yep.
They brought in Gibbons, right? Looking at some of their personnel, those aren't the big, thumping, 250, 260-pound off-the-ball linebackers, which is what Juwan Bentley is. They're shifting towards a smaller, speedier guy. And so I don't know that he was a system fit. I imagine that's why he's gone. Maybe it's injury, too.
Yeah.
I don't think it's being a bad teammate, which I think some of these other guys could have been ticketed out of town because of that.
But, like, you know, individually you can go through all the guys that have sort of moved on, and I'm sure you like some more than others. But last year we were kind of making fun of them for re-signing all their guys from a four-win team.
Yes.
So I'm certainly not going to kick and scream about getting rid of guys from a four-win team. Like, I wish them all the best. Hopefully Andrews, if he wants to play, and Bentley and all these guys, they can find other spots. But
Andrews, to me, is the closest one that I kicked and screamed about. Like, I don't care one bit they're releasing Juwan Bentley. I didn't see it coming today, of all days, but I think you could see the writing on the wall.
Well, and one of the reasons with Andrews was just your offensive line already stinks, and now you're moving on from him. So, like, what's your plan? But then they went out and got Bradbury, and I can't tell you, like, could Bradbury be better for the 25 season than Andrews? Maybe. And so that was, you know, that's what they wanted to do. Creating another need seemed a little wild, but we always talk about how you can't just, like, have 53 new guys after a bad team, but you don't need to have the same guys. You don't need to, you know, if you could find spots to get new bodies in here with a whole new coaching staff, go for it. Like, I'm okay with that.
So add that to the mix. 617-779-7937. Patriots release Juwan Bentley, or at least expected to release Juwan Bentley. Put out on social media, farewell to Patriots fans. Reese says that's expected today. So what is the direction for the team on defense? Maybe there's some clues there. Also, we think Stephon Diggs, is going to be introduced to the media at 2:15 today.
Speaking of social media, so the other night I referenced how Steph Diggs on Instagram put out that photo of Mike Vrabel. He also, like, a couple days ago, like right after he signed with the Pats, put out a SpongeBob.
Yeah, Patrick. I saw this one.
Oh, so Patrick, and he's just got, like, a look on his. I don't even really know what it means.
Oh, I don't know what it means either. Yeah. But I know that's Patrick from SpongeBob. Yeah.
So the Patriots Twitter account just tweeted that same thing with no comments.
So he's going to be talking today.
That's what it feels like
at 2:15. Yeah. We're not sure who else is going to be talking today. Is it going to be Kraft, like, giving himself credit again? Is it going to be Vrabel? Is it going to be Wolf? We think it's going to be Diggs, and we think WEEI Afternoon is going to be carrying that here today, so stay tuned for it all day long on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe live at Polar Park. We were discussing Garrett Crochet and his debut. He got on himself a little bit after the game. Here's Crochet following the Red Sox 5-2 victory in Texas, discussing how the pitch count got away from him early on in his first start as a Red Sox.
Yeah, it was kind of a grinder day from the start. I felt like, you know, I struggled with consistent execution. Maybe took a few too many shots in the first couple innings trying to get swing and miss, and kind of dug myself in a hole with pitch count early. But, you know, later on in the game, kind of just started trusting the defense and, you know, trusting everybody other than myself, and just started trying to fill up the zone as best I could.
So, if I was going to nitpick Crochet, and I admittedly, Keith, am coming at this from a very biased viewpoint. I had the over on strikeouts yesterday, so I was rooting for punchouts yesterday. But part of the appeal with him is he's going to put – when he's ahead in the count, he's going to put guys away.
Yeah.
I feel how many guys were making contact, and 2, 0 and 2?
Right.
Like, there was a little too much of that for my taste. So, look, the guy struck out a million guys last year. He still struck out 4 and 5 innings. Not like that's terrible yesterday. He got screwed on one early on in the game. Again, coming at it from a very biased standpoint.
No, I think that was,
so,
that was bad.
But I just, if I'm going to nitpick it, when he was ahead in some of those counts, I thought he was going to bury some of those hitters, and he didn't. He claims he was trusting the defense and pitching to contact. That is not how it looked.
Yeah.
But maybe that's what he was doing.
So, it wasn't his best stuff. It didn't feel like it. It wasn't his best performance. But that's usually the sign of the good pitchers, where they still find a way to win, or at least give your chance – a team to win. Never melted down on them. Didn't give up any home runs. Left after five, but he'd only allowed two runs. So, like, your lineup should be able to score more than two runs every game. And so I'll look back. Hopefully we'll get, like, a 10-start sample size from him. And you'll say, like, yeah, the first one he only went five. But after that, he kind of got going.
Yeah.
You know, if there's too many more five-inning starts, that's when you say, all right, like, if you're going to be the ace, the hoss of the week. I've been the hoss of the week twice. And we talked about it. Not going to get it this week. No, Nick. No. No.
Oh, we talked about it. You're right. He was a nominee.
Because I said he needed eight punch-outs.
So we are going to give it to Sean Newcomb.
I kind of
thought we already did. I mean, there's still time left in the show. Maybe we shouldn't give it up. Look, Marcelo Meyer is not a small guy.
Yeah. Let's take a look at tail of the tape here. 6'6"?
6'3". Sorry, not 6'6". 6'3".
6'6". He is 6'3", 195.
Yeah. Not 6'6".
Nah, it's not Hoss of the Week material.
No?
It's a good-sized man. But
yeah, it's not Hoss of the Week.
No.
All right, well, don't tell him.
Do they have any Hosses on this team? Oh, no. You know who Hoss of the Week is?
Yes, I do. I 100% do. This kid in Florida?
No, kid in Florida. No, well, no. I've actually seen play before.
Hoss of the Week.
So, defensive
Absolute
tackle for Florida.
Hoss of the Week.
And he also wears, like, number 21, which is a reckless decision by him.
Is he 460-something pounds?
I think he's 464 pounds.
Hoss of the Week.
Hoss no, that's of the it. Year. So, Hoss of the Year.
Hoss of Life.
Did you see that guy?
Well, I didn't watch video, no. Give me a name.
I gotta find his name. Somebody, he deserves. We can't just have Hoss of the Week.
No,
name.
No, Hoss of the Week for the Florida guy.
Florida D tackle. He like weighed in. Was it at a pro day or
yes.
something?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
So I've seen, like, the guy takes up a lot of space. Desmond Watson.
Yeah. If you just search Florida D tackle, 400 pounds comes up before you can even type it in.
Dude, 6'6", 464 at the
nice.
Pro day. He put up 36 reps on the bench. More than any
5'9" 40.
You're at a 5'9" 40?
Yeah, you're running scooting. Down from the break room. Yeah.
There's a highlight that the Florida Gators put out of him where he grabs the running back with two hands and throws him down. Like, he just, it's not tackling at all. He just like, grabs, like, a tiny
he's
little
ragdolling Ashton Jenty.
Yeah.
Okay, so, he's our host of the week. You're right. What is it again? Desmond what?
Desmond Watson.
Nice. Congrats. Desmond, you might not make the NFL, but you are the host of the week here
also,
on Delta Keep.
25-inch vertical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great, but for 464
at that frame,
he gets up.
I couldn't jump 25 inches right now. No chance.
Probably not right now. No.
No chance.
I bet at some time. Okay. Yeah, you're right. He would become the heaviest player in NFL history.
Yeah,
there's never been a guy who's 464.
I mean, I would have wagered on that. I guess I didn't know that definitively, but I would have.
If you want to bring the nose tackle back, you go out there, you get yourself a Desmond Watson. Would you draft him?
Draft probably not.
Yeah,
but you know, bring him into a camp. Sure, 464. Vrabel, if you're listening on the way to the press conference, he's Jones and Keefe approved. That's a one time Hoss of the Week. Let's hand it out right now. We don't need to wait until.
No, Desmond Watson absolutely deserves it.
Hoss of the Week.
Why did he pick 21? That like Deion Sanders wore 21. Why on earth?
It's a slimming number. What do you mean? Why?
I know, but like, if you're gonna do that, just go single digits. Otherwise, maybe. This guy needs to be like 99.
Maybe one gets swallowed up from time to time.
Yeah, I guess. Know,
maybe. Great athlete, ran a 5'9" 40, jumped 25 inches at 500, basically 500 pounds.
Yeah,
500 pounds.
Yeah, guy can
move. According to this one Twitter account, which seems legit, the heaviest player in NFL history was actually a former Patriot.
Oh.
Trent Brown, it says, clocked in at 380.
Makes sense.
Wikipedia says Aaron Gibson, 4'10".
Right. Well, where's
Gilbert Aaron. Brown in all this?
Oh, great one. Who's that?
That's the guy. That's Watson.
I'm sorry, Billy. That's a good one. Gilbert Brown? That's a good one.
Oh, he was big.
That guy was large. That was a big man.
Like, Mekhi Becton's big, but no.
The fridge?
We asked somebody
last.
How
big was the fridge?
Oh, Refrigerator Perry? Yeah, he's big.
Yeah.
We asked somebody.
Small.
Who did we ask last year? I think Onwenu maybe, or one of these guys, like biggest guy. No, we asked a defensive player. Cause they were going up against somebody big. And I was like, is so-and-so the biggest guy you've played against? He's like, no. He's like, Trent Brown. Trent Brown's just like a monster.
All right, well, this is an unfortunate but I think worthwhile segue into Rafael Devers, who we're going to spend some time talking about.
that's tough timing for Ralphie.
We were going to segue into talking about Marcelo Meyer's going to join us at 12:30. We had some Devers talk scheduled there. I'm already sounding the panic alarm on Rafi Devers.
Really? One game in?
Because it's not one game.
No.
What a lot of people will say is it's one game. No.
One real game.
Well, one real big league game, but that's not all I'm freaking out about.
His general disposition.
He wasn't out there in the spring. He's not happy, which we know because he said it. Even listening to Cora yesterday, Cora told Will before the game, he's like, yeah, I hope we can just keep this professional and like keep it our baseball separate from our personal relationship and keep baseball to baseball.
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. So Ralphie's not happy.
No.
Cora sounds like things still aren't right, no matter what they're trying to tell you. He wasn't on the field. His start date got pushed back and back and back. And on top of that, he supposedly looked poor when he was out there, and then you saw it yesterday with your – it's not one day. So I get it. I'm not pushing the panic button on Bregman going 0-for-4 or even Cassis going 0-for-4. To me, that's one day for both of those guys. I'm not going to give him a ton of time, but that's one day. Yeah. Devers is not one day. We've been talking about this for 6 weeks.
No, and that's why you can't separate the 0-for-4s, because it is one game. I mean, if Bregman or even Devers comes out tonight and socks two dingers, you're like, all right, well, that's a different story. But all we have is the one game for that. However, it was the biggest storyline in the spring was him not wanting to move off of third base and then sort of real reluctantly moving over there. Everybody else, like Bregman and Cora, were saying the right things all along, and then Devers just didn't want to do it, and now ultimately he is the third baseman. It's 0-for-4, but it's also three strikeouts and a ground out when you have a guy on.
It looked like, 0-for-4 doesn't do it justice. Like 0-for-4 and he's hitting it on the screws.
Oh, you got some screamers out there.
Not what happened at all.
No, that was
0-for-4 and the guy looked lost.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe he's a Hoss of the Week candidate at some point this year.
Morning show was all over Devers too. They were all over him, and they're like, keep an eye on him, keep an eye on this guy. What's going on with him? And
okay.
So, yeah, this whole series in Texas. You know, I'll be curious too. Like, one next week rolls around. Next week at this time, they'll be getting ready for the home opener. You know, so what are the feelings? I think the feelings around the team are very high, very 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 positive. But let's see how Devers, because I feel like Devers and Costas were the two guys this spring that their like popularity took a hit.
Yeah.
Where everybody else's was like, oh, this is great. This team's going to be awesome. They're going to go back to the playoffs. But everyone's looking kind of side-eye at those two.
Okay, so we're looking at the group hitting down on the field.
Yeah.
I don't know if I see Meyer or not, but I do still see guys down there hitting for the Woo Sox. We're told we're going to get Marcelo Meyer right after he's done batting practice. Should be 12:30-ish.
All right.
Here on Jones and Keefe, you want to hear from the Red Sox top prospect, Marcelo Meyer. He's going to join us for the Woo Sox home opener, season opener, here in Worcester. Jones and Keefe live at Polar Park. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937. We got the Week in Review coming your way at 12:45. We'll check in with Marcelo Meyer. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Red Sox opener last night in Texas. We're at Polar Park for the Woo Sox opener. Scheduled to be joined any moment now by Red Sox top prospect Marcelo Meyer here at Polar Park. It's the Woo Sox. It's the Syracuse Mets. Keefe already gave you the lineup earlier today. While we await Marcelo Meyer, some interesting developments on that Juwan Bentley release, Keefe.
Yeah, what do we got?
So Andrew Callahan had a good observation from the Boston Herald. He said that, for the second time, the Patriots have announced the release of a longtime veteran. First it was David Andrews.
Captain.
Now, Juwan Bentley. Yes, captain, you're right. Right before a free agent press conference, he says, interesting timing.
That is odd.
So I forgot about that. They announced David Andrews before they brought in the four players with Robert Kraft and celebrating everything in free agency a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. And now they're doing the exact same thing today. They waited to release Juwan Bentley.
It's like a pattern.
A longtime vet, a leader, a captain.
Yeah.
And then they'll go out and probably give like a quick thank you and brush it aside and trump up Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, especially depending on who talks today, right? If it's Kraft, he might have a little bit more to say, similar to last time where he had a little bit more to say about Andrews and Elliott Wolf, who like worked with him. But, you know, Mike Vrabel knows those guys, but it's not like he coached him or even picked him to be on the team. But it's obviously his decision to move on from him. And he's the one that's going to talk about him the least amount. Because that was sort of what happened last time.
Yeah,
right?
He was asked about David Andrews. He's like, I'm not getting into that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that is weird because, I mean, it's football. Everybody knows it's a business and guys get signed,
traded, and again,
cut all the time.
This one you could see coming. I didn't necessarily see the David Andrews one coming. This one you could see coming.
Yeah, but it's why the timing?
The shady timing. Exactly. Like, that's all. And
like, couldn't have cut him yesterday? You had to wait until Diggs talks today at 2 o'clock?
When did they sign Gibbons? Last week? They signed Ellis on Monday, I think it was. They matched the Raiders offer sheet. So they brought him back, I guess. Spillane signed weeks ago. So you couldn't have done it at any of those points in time? You got to hide it behind a press conference? So if nothing else, that's just shady.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Gonzalez, friend of the show.
Yes. What'd he say?
Sounds
not, much,
not
probably.
Sounds not happy. No, it's two words.
Okay.
That's on,
well,
on par for him.
Short and sweet.
He said, bro, what? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Bro, what? So
yeah, I can go to the next question.
Wow. He doesn't like it.
He sounds fired up. You can hear it. You can hear it in his voice right there.
Actually. I don't know how Vrabel's going to be able to defend himself.
Let me hear that again. That's a fired up man right there. He's angry.
Right, I can go to the next question.
Yeah, yeah, you can hear it in the tone. We're expert interviewers. We know what Gonzo means.
I know.
And yeah, he doesn't sound happy.
So he doesn't like it.
No.
He likes Bentley. Yeah, I'm sure Bentley was well liked, but so was Andrews. You know, those were guys that you didn't really hear any issues with. They've been on the team a long time.
No, and they're both hurt. So like, I think they're both defensible releases, but it looks like you're scared or hiding from something.
It's shady. Why do that? What's the point? It felt like you just decided today you're going to cut Bentley.
No, I'm sure they knew. I'm sure the second Vrabel walked in, he's like, "You're gone, you're gone, you're gone, you're out." And so I don't know the process of why you're announcing it today, other than you got something to hide, is what it looks like. I don't mind the philosophical shift on defense to smaller, more speed on the field. Like I actually do feel good about that. I thought, for as good of a defensive coach as Bill was for years and years and years, I think where it was most evident the game had passed him by. Not to make it about Bill, but where it was most evident the game had passed him by was the size of those defenses, like big, two-gapping interior defensive linemen, big, thumping second-level linebackers, and I don't think that's the way the game of football in the NFL is played in 2025.
No, and you look at, they've been getting worse defensively, right? They were getting worse even with Bill by the end, and then the first year with Mayo, they took another big step backwards, so they definitely needed a personnel shuffle. On top of if they're changing the scheme, and you know Terrell Williams had a really good D line. I don't know how much credit you want to give him for the overall Detroit defense, but the D line was pretty good, which is what he coached. Vrabel had good defenses in Tennessee, and if you look like big picture and like the teams that you're going up against, there's some really good offenses there, and ones that are fast, ones you're going to have to contend with. You know, with the exception of maybe a guy like Derrick Henry or something like that, I think going a little bit smaller, a little bit faster is where everybody else is going. So yeah, I have no problem with that.
No. I like it. And I guess, again, I'd have to go back and really look at those Tennessee defenses, but he's bringing in some of the same personnel he had in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Landry, Gibbons, guys like this. And so, I'm on board with that transition, but if you're doing Bentley and Andrews a little dirty, I don't think it's going to leave a great taste in fans' mouths. And clearly, guys like Christian Gonzalez are pissed. It's personal, I'm sure. They like him. They didn't see it coming, but it doesn't sound like it was communicated the greatest to one of the better players on the team, which is... something Vrabel's got to be careful with.
Well, then we'll see who was there today. If it's the same Kraft to Wolf to Vrabel to the players, or is it a little bit different? If they're allowing Q&A, which I think that they are, I'm sure there's going to be some Bentley questions off the rip and see where
probably fewer than Andrews questions, though, right?
I would think so. But just to sort of see what the answer is going to be. I bet Vrabel's is pretty similar.
Good question for Callahan to ask, though. And Callahan's not afraid to ask it. Like, hey.
Why today?
Last time we were here, David Andrews was released. Today, Juwan Bentley was released. Like, is that a coincidence?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to answer it. But, like, just to hear them squirm, that'd be a good question. And I don't know who's the group today. Like, if you had to bet on it, do you think it's Kraft?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
That would be so embarrassing if it's Kraft.
But would that shock you?
No.
No, of course not.
No, he's embarrassing.
But there's another reason.
That would be so embarrassing.
But if you're looking for – if you were taking credit for spending money on Milton Williams and Carlton Davis and Morgan Moses, right? You're front and center for that.
Combined,
you don't think you'd be front and center for Steph Diggs?
Combined zero Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was about the – that wasn't about the players, though, as we know. That was about, see, guys, I spend money.
But this also –
see, guys, I'm not cheap. Tom Curran, write that. See, I'm not cheap.
But some people also think they're spending $23 million a year on Diggs.
Correct.
They're not, but that's what some people see.
Some people
see a big flashy number.
$69
million. Nice.
And that is what they think. Correct. Yes.
And so, I mean, Andy's also the most well-known player out of the group by far.
Yeah.
He's
the most high profile. He's been to Pro Bowls. Yeah. Just from the Patriots and the Bills, you know, that rivalry. Yeah, he's a high profile player that fans know. Yes.
I think it's everybody. What do you think it ends up being?
You're probably right.
Okay.
It's probably Kraft.
Yeah.
It's probably not Jonathan, because I'm sure, as you know, something's going on at Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
They got that new Chili's in Scranton that I saw in the news, so he's got something going on. It's probably Robert. For sure it's going to be Vrabel, Wolf, Diggs. And the question is Robert, which again I do think would be embarrassing.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. So
Hang on. Update. Update from the WooSox.
Update on the update.
Haven't read it yet.
Is this breaking news? No.
Marcelo is in the trainer's room.
What?
He said, "Give him a little bit."
Okay.
He apologized.
Oh.
They have an advanced meeting at 1:00, so maybe after that we'll keep you posted.
All right.
Well,
this is like
slowly I'm turning into a Christian Campbell guy here on Jones and Keefe. Okay, Marcelo Meyer, TBD on this program.
Is the craft corner open down there? I don't know if it is. There's also like a full bar behind us.
I'm going to go lay down in front of that train over there is what I'm going to do. 617-779-7937. Marcelo Meyer will be announced hopefully at some point here today on Jones and Keefe. We are live at Polar Park in Worcester for the WooSox opener. Red Sox opened last night. We gave thoughts on it. You can still jump in at 617-779-7937. I'll tell you what, Keefe, it's been a strong week here on Jones and Keefe.
Oh, what a week.
Especially Monday through Thursday. It's been a strong week.
We're out, you know, we got the sun on us.
No, so I want to recap the week in the week in review next.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keefe?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound!
We gotta go.
Get everybody pile in the minivan. Chainsaw. We're going.
And worst.
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Oh, what a week it has been here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. Today, we are live from Polar Park in beautiful Worcester, Massachusetts, getting you ready for the WooSox opener. Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer, friend of the show, are going to be in the lineup today for the WooSox. TBD on Marcelo joining the program.
Well, I was going to say, one was in the lineup for Jones and Keefe here today.
What about right now, Jones?
Is he?
What if I told you? Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to bring him in.
We got Marcelo.
All right.
Oh, heck yeah.
Bring him in.
How about that? Right on cue.
Come on in.
Week in Review, slide on over as we're joined by Marcelo Meyer, Red Sox top prospect here on Jones and Keefe. Marcelo, thanks for coming up here. I know it's a busy day, an opening day for you guys. So thanks for stopping by. You had a monster big league camp, spring training, the two games in Mexico as well. It's not your call. It's not up to you. But do you feel like you should be in the big leagues right now? Like, do you feel like you did enough to earn your spot coming out of camp?
Yeah. Obviously, like you said, all that stuff is enough to me. But as a player and based on performance, I feel like I did earn a spot on that team. With that being said, things didn't go my way, and now I'm here, and you know, I'm just going to get after it every single day, keep doing what I'm doing.
So how'd they leave it with you? Like, obviously, you're starting here in Worcester. Was it sort of a, hey, just kill it down there and we'll let you know? Did they give you any kind of timetable? What were those conversations like?
Not really a timetable. I think it's kind of hard to tell. I also think it's part of the business. They don't tell you as well, even if they know. But, yeah, they pretty much told me just to keep doing what I've been doing. I think everyone knows that I played really well this spring, and but yeah, just keep playing the game that I know how to play, and everything will fall into place.
So they've moved you around a little bit on the diamond, a natural shortstop. But I think you played in your minor league career, if I saw right, a couple of games at third.
Two games at third, yeah.
And then they even gave you a game at second at the tail end of spring training. So is that something you expect to do more of here, or are you going to play only shortstop here? How are they going to use you defensively?
No, I'll be playing one game at second, one game at third, and then four at short. So yeah, it's a new opportunity, a new challenge for me that I've never done in my career. Obviously, I had some reps there in the off season and in spring training, but I've never done anything like that in a full season. So I'm really excited for that opportunity.
Are you open to playing other positions? Because we know that can be a hot debate sometimes. So some guys don't want to move off of certain positions. Are you good playing all those spots?
I just want to be a big leaguer.
Okay.
You know, I'll play wherever.
Okay. We're joined by Marcelo Meyer, Red Sox top prospect here on Jones and Keefe. WooSox opener. We're live at Polar Park. You can catch the Red Sox tonight on WEEI. We saw Christian Campbell make his debut. Roman Anthony here today. From the outside looking in, we group all you three together. We're like the big three, the three Red Sox top prospects. I don't know. What can you tell us about the relationship between the three of you? Like, how close are you guys? Like, how much time are you spending around one another? Certainly while you were together in the big league camp. I know Christian is with the Red Sox now, but what's the relationship like between the three of you?
Yeah, so last year was the first time that all three of us shared the field together. And, of course, the media does a really good job of hyping that stuff up. But, yeah, I mean, I love those guys. Obviously, when you go through a grind like this for 6-7 months out of the year, you get really close to people. They're like your second family, right? So, yeah, seeing Campbell and seeing other guys that you've played with in the minor leagues make their debut and live their dream out, it's super cool to watch. So we were on the clubhouse yesterday watching the
game. That's what I was going to get. You must have been watching, right?
Of course, yeah.
What'd you think?
It was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, just to see him there and his family there, because I know this game. I know how much a family sacrifices to, not just the player. Just to see all of them there, seeing Campbell live out his dream, it was really special.
And did you room with Roman Anthony during spring? Is that true?
Every time. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Is that something you get to pick, or the manager just tells you here the assignments?
Yeah, so he's pretty much been my roommate ever since we've started playing together, whether that's in the spring or during the season. So okay. He's my roommate right now in AAA.
So I got a text from, I'm not going to say who. It was Rob Bradford. And he told me to ask you.
Yeah, you're already shaking your head.
We work in the same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he told me to ask you about your spring training house, which Roman Anthony says was haunted, but you don't think it was haunted?
Haunted?
Haunted. Yeah, haunted house.
Wow. Okay, go.
Yeah, we have a roommate. So we lived with five dudes in spring training. We have a roommate named Matthew Donlin who was fully convinced that his room was haunted. And, like, to this day, he still texts us. He's like, dude, the controller was on the table last night. It's not there anymore. I'm like, save it.
Yeah, you don't have
like, I'm not buying it, you know? And one day, Matthew took Roman's controller of his room because it was that's how you turn the light on, through a controller.
Yeah.
And just started turning the lights on and off.
Nice.
And me and Roman started freaking out. Because we didn't buy it at first. Next thing you know, his lights, he's like, dude, my light just turned on. And it happened again, and we were, like, already packing our stuff. We were going to the Holiday Inn for the night.
You're just out of there.
Yeah, we were gone.
Wow.
He ended up telling us that it was him. But,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think the house is haunted. It was pretty cool.
So that house wasn't haunted, but would you believe that some houses could be haunted?
100%.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 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 All right.
I believe in that. 100%.
Good.
100%.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
Well, do you have, like, an experience outside of spring training? No, nothing.
I mean, as a kid, I just used to see ghosts.
Like, see ghosts?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, interesting.
Where was
No, actually, at my house.
At your home where you grew up?
Really?
Yeah.
Were you like,
this is like a Jennifer Love Hewitt situation? We got to move?
Apparently, I don't know if this is true also, but some of my buddies' houses in that neighborhood were seriously haunted as well. Apparently, before they built that neighborhood, it was a cemetery.
No way.
That checks out.
Okay.
Are you messing with us?
No.
Okay.
I'm serious.
All right. This is the first time we've met, so I don't know.
Let me just flash the lights real quick.
This is fantastic.
I might have to fact check with, like.
No, don't. No, this
no,
is good.
I like,
no,
no,
yeah, yeah, yeah. This is better than fact checking.
So you could see ghosts for a certain.
When I was like a kid. I haven't seen one in a long time. Hopefully, I don't see one anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But I used to be really scared of ghosts as a kid.
What if the debut is like an Angels in the Outfield kind of thing?
Well, that's another whole thing.
Yeah. That would be like
that's
a whole
like the good
situation.
Ghosts.
Yeah, they were. They were helping ghosts.
That's good ghosts.
Yeah, they helped Tony Danza.
I'd imagine. That
was a whole thing. Yeah.
Keith is big on the cryptids. What else do you believe? Like aliens? Is that something you believe in?
Of course.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. You guys never seen those videos of like, it's like the Earth and it just keeps zooming out and zooming out and zooming out?
Yes.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
No, we were the only ones.
There's a lot going on out there.
Thank you.
That's for sure.
Can't be that. Like,
you get it. You're tall grays.
Of course.
You're small grays.
All of it.
You're Nordics. You get it.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited about this. Not to completely pivot away from this, but I'm curious, what's the relationship like with Alex Cora? You know, a guy that hopefully one day you're playing for soon, but just all the time you guys had in camp and everything like that, what's that been like?
It was great. I mean, AC's been around the game for so long. And just have a manager that's been around the game for so long, that played, that understands what players go through and has been a manager for such a long time. It's really cool to have someone like that leading the team.
Did I read this right? Are you were a Yankee fan? Is that right?
I am or was?
You were.
No, not now.
As a kid, you were a Yankee fan?
Yeah, I was.
You like Jeter?
Love Jeter.
Okay, so that's, well, look, I mean, I
at least he's got the ghost and alien thing going for him. I'll take that.
Yeah. He's not the biggest fan of this, but like, Is that something you hear from a lot? Red Sox fans are like, Yankee fan. Like, is that the kind of? I feel like it's not as controversial of a thing now as like when we were kids, for instance. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't really care. You know, like I didn't know I was going to get drafted by the Red Sox and play with the Red Sox.
You're
so as
ghosts.
A kid, I grew up and I loved Derek Jeter. You know, like no one could take that away from me. I still love that guy. I love the way that he carried himself, the way that he played. Obviously, I'm not a Yankee fan anymore. I love the Red Sox. But yeah, that's who I grew up watching.
Speaking of watching, is that something you do a lot, like in your free time? Like, will you watch a lot of the major league games? I know yesterday's different. You know, it's the opener. Or do you kind of get away from it, like in your downtime?
I think there's a balance. I think you could learn a lot from watching games and then watching people play. But then also we're humans and we have a life outside of the field, and we do this a lot of hours during the day. So, you know, the time that I'm not at the field, it's kind of like my own time, and I try to, you know, do things that I enjoy.
Marcelo Meyer, Red Sox top prospect, joining us here on Jones and Keefe. I think the way the games played trend line would go, 91, 78, 77, the last 3 years. Some would say the best ability is availability. Do you feel like you've been available enough?
I think you know that answer.
So what can you do?
He wants you to answer it a certain way.
What are you working on to combat that, if you can work on anything to combat it, or is it just bad luck? What can you do to avoid that going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it's just bad luck, and then a lot of it as well is just me having a new routine this year, me working really hard in the off season to make sure that doesn't happen again. Obviously, you never know what's going to happen in the game. We play every single day, and I play the game extremely hard. And you know, as an athlete, you run risk of injury. But yeah, I mean, this off season, a lot of it was rehabbing and stuff. And then the time that I wasn't rehabbing, a lot of it was making sure that I put my body in a really good spot to hopefully play 162 and more, if we make the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, you know, every time I head to spring training, my goal is to play every single game of the season. Obviously, I know in the minors, they limit your playing time and stuff. But yeah, I want to play every single day that I can.
So beyond games played, do you have any personal goals? I mean, making the big leagues is one. Games played sounds like one. Do you have any other personal goals you're trying to check?
I mean, I really like where I'm at right now. So for me, it's just staying ready for when my time comes. As a guy who obviously doesn't start the season in the big leagues, if when you get called up, your goal is to help the team win in any way you can. So, you know, for whenever I get called up, I don't know when that's going to be. It's going to be to be ready and help the team win.
Do you get caught up in prospect rankings? Because I can only imagine for the last several years, you've been right up there towards the top, up, down, whatever. But yeah, there's so many different websites do it. So many different ones put it together. Your teammates with a bunch of guys that you're all around, is that something you even talk about? Is it on your radar at all?
I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those things fluctuate so much. And you know, if you're playing bad, they're going to hate you. If you're playing good, they're going to love you, right? So I think those things always change. So that's not really something that I ever worry about.
A couple of quick ones. How do you feel about the big three nickname for you, Anthony Campbell? Do you like that? Does it need some work? How do you feel about that?
I don't really care for it. You know, I know people like to use it because it's exciting. Obviously, we have a lot of great players in this org, and they kind of put us in the spotlight. But yeah, at the end of the day, we're each our own individuals, and we just play the game wanting to make it to the big leagues, not necessarily for like publicity and stuff like that.
So out of the
magazine cover, right, and all that
exactly,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So out of the three of you, who do you think is the funniest?
Out of the three of us?
Yes.
I'm the funniest.
You're the funniest?
Yeah.
Nice. I like that. Good confidence.
Yep.
Who do you think is the smartest? Like, if you were, like, doing trivia or something like that, who do you think would get the most stuff right?
I don't know. I think we'd all be pretty bad at it, to be honest. Yeah.
Who do you think is the fastest? You all line up and race. Who's the fastest?
Me.
Nice. Okay. The confidence.
We're honestly all pretty similar running speeds. Me and Casey had the longest argument throughout spring training of who's faster. And I ended up calling our double-A manager, who we're super close to. I love him. Shout out Epi. And he ended up saying I was faster. So that ended the debate right there. But he wants to race me so bad.
I was going to say, what would the race be? Is it like home to first? Is it like the outfield? Like what's a fair race?
Wait, so you're waiting. Hang on. You're like Jerry Seinfeld. You won't race him?
Good show.
Yeah. You choose not to run.
No. I mean, why would I race him?
Because you're the fastest already.
They already know that you're the fastest. Yeah, you're anointed.
Yeah,
fastest.
I mean, I'll race him eventually. You know, when we're on the line. But I'm not gonna like take time out of my day to go race a guy.
So what?
You know?
What would the race be? You were asking.
Yeah, is it just like home
60
to first
yards, 50 yard race?
Oh, okay,
straight.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Nice. Right. I couldn't even run down the hallway at our work without being out of breath. I don't like my chances in that
room. Last question. Yes. This has been tearing our show apart. It's a baseball question. You're a baseball guy.
This is a good one. This is this is the most important question we've asked. Yes.
Is the catcher an infielder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's right, it. Well, that's over.
Well,
the debate
face.
Is over.
In my face.
Thank you very much.
He's an infield.
Yeah.
Well, he's on the
infield. No, he already answered.
Is a pitcher an infielder?
No.
He's on the infield.
He's on the mound.
In your face.
Damn it.
Yes.
All right.
I'll take that.
You know what? I'm voting you.
That's a win.
I'm voting you smartest for thinking on your feet.
Thanks.
Out of the big three. Well, Marcelo, we appreciate the time.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
Yeah.
Best of luck this season. Best of luck here today. And we'll see you in the big league soon.
Appreciate that.
All right. Thank Marcelo Meyer, Red Sox top prospect here on Jones and Keefe. We'll take a quick timeout. We still got the week in review, some Steph Diggs updates as well. That's next.